Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome you to the 112th meeting of the American Society of Horticultural Science, our presidential address and business meeting. I am Mary Meyer, Chairman of the Board of ASHS. Welcome to our meeting and thank you for coming. It is my pleasure to begin this meeting by introducing your president, Mike Arnold. Michael Aloysius Mike Arnold was raised across the road from his grandfather's farm in Zanesville, Ohio. Mike's exposure to gardening started at an early age when he was hitched to the garden cultivator to help pull it while his grandfather weeded the garden rows. In spite of this practice, he quickly developed an interest in horticulture. His grandparents, both his grandmother and his grandfather, were very instrumental in being great plant mentors for him, sharing their favorite ornamentals, and his grandfather gave him a field space to raise pumpkins, gourds, and Indian corn to sell at the local market to earn spending money. Although still linked to horticulture while working at Kroger's produce department during college, Mike became convinced that accountants probably made more money than farmers. So he pursued a bachelor's in business administration at Ohio State University. But he realized he missed growing plants. So it occurred to him that opening a nursery would permit him to grow plants and make good use of his business background. Fortuitously, he realized he needed to learn growing trees, and he enrolled in the Department of Horticulture at Ohio State to get a second bachelor's degree in horticulture. And he had every intention of opening the nursery, but in 1985, he came to an ASHS meeting, and he realized he wanted to go to school to study further, so he went to Virginia Tech at Blacksburg and got his master's there. He then went on to get his PhD at NC State, and he took his first teaching job at Texas Tech University. But he wasn't there long because he was lured away to Texas A&M, where for over 20 years he's conducted research on container nursery production and landscape establishment of container grown plants and new plant development, and has done extensive teaching. He's also the co-founder of Texas A&M University Gardens, and he has done service as an associate department head, first the graduate program and then the undergraduate program. Mike has had a long history with ASHS, from serving on committees, 7 years in the Southern Region Executive Committee, Southern Region ASHS Executive Committee, president of the Southern Region. He's been an editor for Hort Technology and on the editorial board. And as you know, he's currently finishing his term as president of ASHS. Mike, today in his presidential address, will talk to us about the relevancy in the corporate university horticulture's 21st century challenge. Please join me in welcoming your president.
Thanks, Mary. I will correct one thing, though. I did not go to Blacksburg. My master's was at Ohio State, and did not work at Texas Tech. It was Tennessee Tech. But other than that, but what I would like to do, I'm glad to pick on Mary. What I would like to do is take just a moment before I start to thank anyone who has served in leadership capacities for professional organizations realizes that all the unsung work is done by the people who don't get the credit for it. And I just want to point out a couple of folks who really deserve the credit here for success in the last year. And I want to thank publicly Mike Neff and Tracy and the folks at the ASHS office. They have done a fantastic job for the organization, make life easy on the board and everyone else. I also want to thank someone that almost never gets thanking, and that is my administrators. We have anyone, again, who has spent time working with a professional organization realize that it takes time away from your regular job, and that has to be supported by your administrators, or it's a tough thing to do. I've been really fortunate over the years to have Dan Leinberger and Tim Davis and late Sam Kottner and Dave Reed as an interim, and they have been incredibly supportive of not only me, but many others as they were, gave service to their professional organizations. So thank you. And finally, and speaking of taking time away from things, anytime you spend time with an organization and other things, you spend a lot of time away from your family. And while my wife gets done taking her picture there, I would like my wife Amanda, my son Zane, and my son Saunders to please stand up. Without their support and letting me take the time away from family activities, I would not have been able to do this over the years. So thank you very much. Okay. With that, I'd like to spend the rest of our time talking about relevancy in the corporate university. And I really do believe that this is horticulture's 21st century challenge. One might start out and ask, well, what is a corporate university? Well, if you Google it, you're going to come up with a whole lot of different answers. Some people say it's McDonald's Hamburger University. Okay. Some people will say it's IBM's training program for executives. Other people will more generally now equate a corporate university with running a university with more of a business-like background. Now, as Mary mentioned, I started out with a degree in business. So the idea of running an educational institution with a bit more of a business outlook really didn't sound all that bad to me. Corporations make profits. These profits in a corporate university environment should be returned to the stockholders, and the stockholders should be the general public. So in theory, it doesn't sound like too bad of an idea. Unfortunately, the emphasis has shifted from the outputs of an educational undertaking, such as societal impacts, scholarly work, and quality education, to an emphasis in a corporate university environment on the inputs, the grants, the contracts, the donations, the sponsorships, the branding, tuition revenues, and fees. These are now the new determinants of success. Okay? I think this is a twisting of the mission of the land-grant system. I'm not the first to come up with this. A number of my predecessors have talked about issues related to a changing land-grant system and also about the potential evils of a corporate university. Probably the most thorough of those discussions was by Dr. George Martin in his talk entitled "The Corporate University, A Place of Few Values and No Soul." And I'm not sure that I would necessarily disagree with his assessment. However, we could go on the rest of the day discussing the evils of the corporate university. Unfortunately, I think that we're stuck with it. We in horticulture typically would not have the wherewithal to change the direction of a corporate university. So what we need to do is learn how to survive in that and to become relevant. In order to remain relevant in the 21st century's corporate university environment, I would argue that we need to look at two aspects. One, we need to recognize what are the challenges we're going to face in the 21st century in horticulture. And secondly, then, how can we be relevant to meeting those challenges? The first challenge that I think we're going to face is the globalization of markets. This has an unprecedented effect on horticultural industry. Increased competition is occurring on a global scale, particularly with terms of market windows. We're having an opening of previously unavailable windows for our products, but many of our older windows are either narrowing or being eliminated. We need to train people that are going to appreciate and understand the diversity of a global market. I might use apples. I started out in a former life as a graduate student at NC State working on apples. And the apple industry at NC State was really predicated on one thing. We brought an early season Red Delicious apple to the market before the bigger markets and the higher quality fruit could come in from the northern tier states. For a long time, that worked for our industry. Unfortunately, along came CA storage. All of a sudden, they could store apples year-round from the north. We could ship apples from many other locations across the world. We had different varieties coming in that became popular, and we also had a shift to production from low-chill environments. All of a sudden, our market window wasn't there anymore. Maybe that's just an example of shifting markets and windows, but maybe if we looked at it on a global scale, we even should be thinking a little bit more out of the box. Maybe it's the apple of the Bible, the pomegranate, that now becomes the fruit of that we're interested in, rather than the traditional apple. So we need a perspective on what the global market has and how we're going to respond to that into the 21st century. What other kind of challenges are we going to face in horticulture? I think that of a sustainable built environment and living conditions is going to be a major issue for horticulture to address. Currently, 54% of the world's population is present in urban environments. That amount is growing daily. How do we concentrate more and more people into smaller and smaller spaces and have the degradation associated with urbanization and deal with that? We've got to find ways to mitigate and capitalize on ecosystem services. What may be even more disturbing and a little bit more of a challenge for horticulture in the 21st century is sustainable food production systems. Currently, we're looking at feeding 7 billion people. That sounds like a challenge. How do we do that today, and how do we do it in such a way that we can continue to do it tomorrow? But if you look at the UN's recent numbers, we'll find that there's 95% likelihood that by the year 2100, that number will be 11 billion, not 7 billion. And there's an 80% likelihood. Are we willing to accept a p-value of 0.2? Maybe. Okay. If we do that, we're up to 13 billion people. That's hard to visualize. But to think about that, that's like taking every street, every neighborhood, every city, every state, every country on the face of the earth and doubling the pot that. That's how many people we've got to feed by the year 2100. Horticulture has a major role to play in that. Well, those sound like some nice challenges, and maybe it's not quite difficult enough. We've got to do all that with a changing global and local environmental issues. Limited water quality and quantity have become an issue for many horticultural crops. Climate change and the uncertainties associated with that, whether it's naturally caused or whether it's man-made, is sort of a moot point. We still have to deal with climate change. As we attempt to mitigate the climate change, we also present another challenge for ourselves. And that's as we switch to new energy sources and try to reduce CO2 emissions, we have to deal with horticultural crops, which have a need for high energy inputs. How is that going to be met in the 21st century? If we don't have enough challenges in the 21st century for horticulture from environmental factors and from population growth, we have a few more that might be of an issue as well. And that's the political, technological, and economic challenges that are occurring. Ironically, just at the time that we need it, science appears to be under fire. In the recent National Geographic issue, that they devoted an entire issue to the war on science. Issues such as evolution that we thought were pretty much settled, 80 years ago or 100 years ago, are now being in question by various ideologies, not necessarily accepting science-based solutions. Similarly, as we try to attempt to feed populations and improve human health, we're faced with challenges to vaccines and the use of GMO foods. All of this is creating a rapid change in technology, a rapid change in communication, and an effect on our production systems. We also are going to have to deal with limited human capital. We're dealing with groups of people who are not likely to want to go out and work in an adverse environment outdoors. How do we handle that need for labor in labor-intensive crops? This all leads to a need for a high degree of flexibility in our students and our industry, and short lead times in which to accomplish this. Volatility will become the rule and not the exception. These are not things that education systems are used to dealing with, but we have to meet that challenge coming into the next generation. Speaking of generations, that's one of our last challenges we're going to have to deal with for the 21st century. We're looking at a generational transition. We have a changing of the guard from millennials in industry, which is the one issue, to those that are going to be in the faculty rank. Indeed, if we look at the faculty at land-grant universities that have horticulture graduate programs, we find that 75% of those faculty are in what we classify as the senior categories, associate and full professors. Only 20% or less of those faculty are in the young faculty category of assistant professors. Those are the folks who are going to have to deal with the issues we're talking about in the 21st century. So, how horticulture departments train students that are going to meet these demands and get those positions refilled from our upper administration is of a critical nature to our ability to remain relevant in the 21st century corporate university environment. Unfortunately, we're having to do that also with a changing student demographics. We are experiencing declining enrollments, particularly at the undergraduate level, in many of our universities. There's a shifting in priorities of the millennial students. Many of them are used to more high technology positions, and we have to figure a way to fold that into horticulture. There's also an increasing emphasis on the cost return of college degrees. Horticulture returns much. Sometimes it's more of an intangible nature what it returns. In a tangible sense, we have a challenge, and we have to counteract some of that bad press that we're receiving in recruiting students. Finally, I think we're going to have to deal with the challenge of a radically changing traditional land-grant model in the 21st century. We've got a continued assault on formula funding that's always been the base of support for many of our applied sciences, such as horticulture. Grant dollars rule. And we have to find ways to be competitive for those grant dollars or risk becoming irrelevant in the 21st century corporate university. Departmental consolidation, I believe, right now is one of the major issues that we face. We have to not lose our seat at the dean's table. We need advocates that are going to be making a case for horticulture and refilling horticulture positions. Now I've depressed you all. Okay. I think I've done a pretty good job of outlining what our challenges are. Now I would ask, okay, these are the challenges. We can't really change the challenges. What we can do is find ways to respond to those challenges. So when I started thinking about where am I going to go to try and find answers to these challenges, one of the places I always look is, well, what does my boss think? Okay. And I went to the experiment station, ESCOP, that group, and looked at their science roadmap. I said, what do they view as the challenges and how might we address them? I was actually very pleased when I read that 160-some page document. Enhance sustainability, adapt to the impacts of climate change, support energy security, feed the world and the U.S., improve human health, wellness, and nutrition, heighten environmental stewardship, and improve the resiliency of family and community development. As I look down that list, there's not a single area that horticulture can't contribute to substantially with fundable research projects. So, that gives me hope for our relevancy in the 21st century. Let's take a little closer look at some of these. Thinking about sustainability and how horticulture remains relevant from a sustainable concept in the coming corporate universities, I think one of the areas is going to be in sustainable production systems. And if you look at this, vertically controlled environmental farming, food safety, edible landscapes, local foods, and farm-to-table operations are all almost tailor-made to dealing with horticultural crops. In addition, there's an opportunity for those of us in the basic sciences to contribute with augmenting traditional breeding with advances in genomics, epigenetics, or bioinformatics work, and other techniques such as marker-assisted breeding for stress-resistant food crops and resource-efficient landscapes. I would also argue that on the educational side, there's an easy way for us to contribute to a sustainable future. That is when in our courses, in our curricula, horticulture is by its very nature a sustainable activity. With just a little bit of tweaking, we can make our curricula and our courses to have a sustainable bent and be relevant in that corporate university environment. In addition, in the built environment areas, there's an opportunity for us to contribute to solutions to global and local environmental issues. Ecosystem modeling to anticipate and moderate impacts of climate change is one way that we might contribute on a larger scale. On smaller scale research, we might work in looking at ecosystem services to mitigate the degradations we're achieving associated with urban built environments. Things like living roofs and green walls and biofiltration systems are all potential research areas for horticulturists. In addition, there's an opportunity for us to contribute to the resiliency of communities. It's long been recognized that community gardens and an increased sense of aesthetics improve people's sense of well-being and reduce crime in urban areas. These are all researchable areas as well for horticultural crops. I think one of the big areas we can look at for relevancies in the 21st century corporate university environment is that of global interactions. Most of our departments are already putting a global twist on their curricula from an educational standpoint, incorporating international experiences, foreign languages, and cultural education into the curriculum. I can't imagine trying to design the 21st century foods or living spaces without understanding the cultural preferences that go behind what people are going to demand. I think the other advantage we have in the global arena is it would be hard-pressed to think of any other area of agriculture that can be equally as relevant to developed countries as we are to subsistence cultures. This is a tremendous opportunity for us from a research and from a funding standpoint. We also can contribute to global stabilizations and be important on a political basis. If you think about it, one of the first questions people are going to ask is, how am I going to feed myself and maintain the health of my family? Horticultural crops can be an answer to that and a contribution to that, whether it be in developed or in subsistence cultures. Perhaps the quickest returns that we could get in that corporate environment are from working for technological opportunities for change. I already mentioned that we're going to be facing labor shortages, ironically, as populations are going up. But one way to work with that is to work with our folks in agricultural economics and agricultural engineering fields to increase automation and to work to reduce energy footprints, all researchable areas. I'd point to things like Dr. Mitchell's work and others with innovative lighting systems in greenhouse as a way to reduce those energy outputs. We can also embrace online changes and technological advances. This is increasing our ways to reach our outlying industry, but also to develop new management opportunities and applications. This may be as simple as working with individual crop management, or as complex as working with water management in whole regions, such as the Coachella Valley that we saw a couple of years ago when we were out there, and horticulture was a major player in that. Those are all opportunities for us to be relevant in the 21st century corporate environment. I would also ask us to think about what are immediate areas in which ASHS can have priorities in assisting with that relevance in the 21st century corporate university environment. I mentioned the threat to horticultural programs through mergers, etc., is something that's of a concern. I would hope that ASHS can be an advocate for that departmental identity and solvency. One way that we can augment the solvency of that is to shore up student numbers. ASHS is involved in a very aggressive program to try and improve enrollment and to promote horticulture with the work that Mary and others are doing in that program. I think that's going to be important for ASHS to focus on. I mentioned before that grant dollars rule. The work that Tom and others are doing with our National Initiatives Committee is going to be incredibly important in engaging our stakeholders in Washington to make sure that we have an opportunity and a source of funds to go after with our grants. ASHS can be a voice for that advocation. I also think ASHS has a role in this 21st century as a facilitator. I would challenge us to look. We were just discussing the other day, we've been doing things very, very similarly for 50 years at ASHS meetings. Our working groups have traditionally operated as governing bodies or portions of the governing body for this society. I would like to see our working groups become springboards for grant activities and other initiatives. Perhaps we could rearrange our conference some to accommodate specific tracks that would be of interest to industry and broaden our areas of appeal there, or to accommodate people working on specific projects such as grant initiatives. What other areas are going to be important for horticulture in the 21st century environment of a corporate university? Well, if you're in an area that doesn't garner a lot of grant funds, it becomes important that you become relevant to that corporate entity in other ways. One way that you might become relevant to that entity is through the establishment of an endowed program. I think that this is going to be absolutely critical to preserve those aspects of our programs that have an applied nature, which may not be competitive for as large amount of funds. ASHS is also following some on that model. What I'd like to ask is, as we look at endowed programs and the work that Paul Thomas and others have done in that, it's the impacts that are important to emphasize when we talk about endowed programs. I'd like every student or former student who is in the audience that has received an ASHS travel grant to please rise. Look around at all those individuals. Those individuals have all been impacted by endowed programs. Okay, thank you. I think ASHS building on those endowed programs, as well as departments building endowed programs, are going to be ways we stay relevant into the 21st century. I think that we might want to think about repositioning some of our publications and other member services to broaden our appeal. Just a couple of examples of things that are going on right now that I think are working in that direction are the implementation of HORT IM, or HORT Instructional Materials. This is a new peer-reviewed system for handling instructional materials developed for extension and teaching purposes that are not falling under the purview of our previous journals. This is reaching out to a different area that's being serviced and also may develop a source of income for ASHS in the future. In addition, there's been some looking into the idea of badge certifications. Badge certifications are where ASHS would verify knowledge of individuals in a very specified area in a way that would be allow them to use that as a marketing tool, perhaps reaching out to industry partners in a new way. I'm sure that you all can think of many more new and innovative ways in which we might do that. And one of the things we're going to be doing in the next few years is embarking upon a new strategic plan. And Dr. Kurt Rome will be leading us in that effort as we go. And I'm sure that you'll hear more about it from him in the future. So we had a wonderful program the other night called Scholars Ignite. And the whole idea was, instead of spending a half hour up here talking to you about what's going on, I should be telling you how our program is relevant and you should care in 2 minutes. Okay? So my 2 minute relevancy for you is horticulture is the background of your life. Where the coffee you drink in the morning when you get up, where the streetscape that you enjoy on your way to work each day, were the flowers and interiorscape plants that make your office livable. Were the fruits that you have and the juices at your break, at your lunch. We're the field of dreams that your children live out their athletic events on. We're the biofiltration systems that provide you with fresh drinking water, a safe place for your children to fish and swim. When you've had a long day or you want to relax with friends, we're the park, we're the trees that you sit under each day. When you look forward to supper, you want a nice healthy meal, you have vegetables. When you aren't looking for quite so healthy a meal, you follow it up with pumpkin pie for dessert. That's horticulture. When your daughter has her wedding, the flowers are what makes it a special, extra special day. When you have success in life, you toast it with horticulture, the wine, the beer that you toast your success with. When you've had a long day and you want to reward yourself before you go to bed at night, horticulture is the chocolate that you have before you go to bed. Okay? When you're not feeling so well, your family needs health and healing, or you do. Horticulture is many times the medicines that make you well. My message is that horticulture sustains your life. Help us enrich and sustain our world. That's my take-home message for you. I'd really like to thank you. I can't say how much I've enjoyed this past year. It has been a career highlight for me. And I just want to thank everyone who's helped to make that a memorable event. Thank you very much.